Today on Annenberg Radio News.
The question needs to be, why do they provide a lower quality product, lower quality service, and less access to products in communities of color than they do in white communities?
Community activists protested today against a national pharmacy chain. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, December 4th. I'm Lata Pandya. A public viewing will be held this evening for the former First Lady of Los Angeles. Ethel Bradley died last week at the age of 89. She was the wife of Tom Bradley, the city's first black mayor. Friends of the couple say Ethel was one of the secrets behind her husband's success as mayor. She was an avid baseball fan, known at the ballpark as Mrs. B. Her prized possession was a glass case filled with autographed baseballs. Tonight's viewing will start at 6 p.m. at Angela's Funeral Home on Crenshaw Boulevard. Funeral services will be held tomorrow at the First AME Church. A decision was delayed today on whether to allow the new Expo train line to cross intersections near Dorsey High School and Forche Learning Center. Residents have opposed the train crossings and say they could endanger students. A decision on the proposed route has been much anticipated since last year. State officials have pushed the issue to December 18th. Democrats in the state legislature have introduced a bill that would allow a majority party to pass a state budget without the agreement of minority parties. Richie DeShawn explains.
Two-thirds of the state assembly have to agree on a state budget before it can pass under current law. California Democrats say that's part of the reason this year's budget was passed more than 80 days late. Under a new bill, co-authored by Assembly Speaker Karen Bass, a simple majority would be required to pass a budget. In a statement on her website, Bass says the bill would be a strong incentive to get a budget passed on time.
There is a stipulation in the legislation that says in order for it to be a simple majority, the budget has to be passed by June 15th. And that really provides a lot of incentive for us not only to pass a budget in a timely manner, but to actually pass it early.
Democrats also say 47 other states require a simple majority to pass a budget. But Republicans say no way. Democrats are the majority in Sacramento right now, and State Senator Dave Cogdill told the San Francisco Chronicle the bill would eliminate the checks and balances that protect taxpayers. I'm Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
Relatives of a woman who died at King Harbor Hospital may get a boost in their lawsuit against Los Angeles County. Caitlin Fenaro has more.
Relatives of Edith Rodriguez are asking for $45 million in compensation. $1 million for each minute Rodriguez suffered in pain on the emergency room floor in May 2007. Family members say Rodriguez could have been saved if hospital workers had treated her in time. The Los Angeles Times reported today that a consultant hired by the county agreed that Rodriguez could have lived if she received adequate care. The assessment was mistakenly made public by the county's lawyers when they filed court records. The consultant reportedly recommended the county settle the lawsuit. Caitlin Fenaro, Annenberg Radio News.
A new state policy that takes effect January 1st is threatening to pull the plug on public access television in California. Deidre Crawford reports.
Time Warner Cable operates all 14 public access stations in Los Angeles. It has plans to shut down all of them on December 31st of this year. The LA Public Access Coalition is asking the city attorney to file a court injunction to keep the channels on air. Dr. Susan Block is part of the coalition that is trying to protect the channels. She is a media sexologist with her own public access program, The Dr. Susan Block Show.
It provides a forum for talking about sexuality that I don't think you have on any commercial stations or government-sponsored stations.
Until now, a federal mandate required all major cable television systems to provide access channels for educational, government, and public use. Starting in January, cable companies will now have the option to pay cities a licensing fee instead of producing public access content. Dr. Block spoke on the importance of public access and freedom of speech.
And public access, most importantly, has given me a lot of love. I'd be very, very sad to see it go. You know, it's like a special lover who never took me out to fancy places, but always stayed with me and gave me a lot of love over the years.
If the city attorney chooses not to accept the case, the LA Public Access Coalition says they have plans to hire a private attorney to continue their fight. Deidre Crawford, Annenberg Radio News.
Temperatures will cool down this evening into the high 40s. Tomorrow we'll have sunny skies and temperatures in the mid-70s. And for the rest of the weekend, we'll see highs in the 70s and lows in the mid-50s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, South Los Angeles has been getting a lot of attention from community groups. Lately, we'll look at several strategies they're taking to try to improve South LA's neighborhoods. The homeless population in Los Angeles County is feeling the effects of the recession. Today, shelters on Skid Row had some help from mental health, medical care, and career organizations. They set up an information fair to direct people towards much-needed resources. Connie Kuo has more.
The day started out cheerful on Skid Row as organizations came out to provide free services for the homeless. George Alvarez is with the LA Department of Mental Health.
We have a saying here that they bounce back, right? But we try to bounce them up, get them out of Skid Row.
Mental health counseling was one of the free services offered today. James Nezert is a veteran of the U.S. Air Force who struggles with alcoholism. He's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Okay, their attempt is to see if you are lost, confused. They want to give you some directional guidance, you know, especially if you have a mental illness, because a lot of people, they don't know northeast, southwest.
This year, more people came to seek these services. Fewer jobs and more home foreclosures are adding to the growing homeless population. It is causing more young people and families to be put on the street.
It's the economy that's putting 22-year-olds and there's an 18-year-old. In one of these missions, and they're homeless because they got nothing. The economy is so bad.
That's Christopher Lant. He moved from Ohio to LA hoping to find a job, but instead, at the age of 21, is jobless and homeless. Not only is the recession increasing homelessness, but is also affecting the resources at the missions. Many missions on Skid Row are overcrowded this year and depending on outside organizations to provide the health care the residents need. Connie Kuo, Annenberg Radio News.
CVS is the largest drugstore chain in the nation, but a report released today shows they may not be serving every customer equally. In reaction to the findings, minority advocacy groups held a news conference and demonstration at a CVS store in Crenshaw. Harmony Appel has more.
Protesters hold signs that read "Cure CVS." The drugstore chain isn't sick, but according to new research, it is in need of a healing. Reverend Eric Lee is from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
CVS pharmacies in our communities of color and low-income communities are dirty, have less services, and less of a welcoming environment in their stores than they do in your wealthy, white, suburban areas.
Minority advocacy groups are reacting to the results of a new study. A group called Change to Win, a partnership between seven unions, conducted the research. The research states that in low-income and minority areas, CVS sells expired products, lacks consumer privacy in pharmacies, and overcharges. Dwight Jackson shops at the CVS on South Vermont and Slauson Boulevard, but he agrees there is consumer discrimination.
We're getting the last end of the stick either way around, from CVS, from Super Superior, to Food for Less, to all these stores coming down here and just selling us anything that basically they feel they can get off to us.
The CVS Corporation denies all claims made by the report, but their media relations department issued a statement saying, quote, "The allegations are based on inaccurate and outdated information. We make every effort to ensure that prices of products and services in our stores are fair." The statement goes on to say CVS sets prices based on the competition and not on geography or ethnicity. The drugstore chain has nearly 7,000 stores nationwide. Reverend Lee says he hopes educating the people about the issue will lead to change.
And once we've done that, then we can begin to organize our communities on how we respond to this egregious discrimination.
Change to Win conducted its nationwide study over a 14-month period. Harmony Apel, Annenberg Radio News. Los Angeles Urban League has several initiatives stemming from education to healthcare to help South LA. I spoke to Chief Neighborhood Officer Pamela Bakewell to discuss some of the challenges the LA Urban League faces. Speaking to your five-year plan, what do you see as the most challenging aspect of the league's plan?
Well, there's challenges in each of the five initiatives. I have a Deputy Neighborhood Officer of Safety. I have one of housing and employment, education, and they are finding that, number one, safety has really been what we find the compelling need to change, because if the neighborhood isn't safe, kids don't want to go to school. If the neighborhood's not safe, residents leave. If the neighborhood's not safe, kids die, and it becomes a blighted area. So the first thing we focused on that was, it's a major challenge, but it's been achievable, is really how to get a handle on the crime in the area. We are working on the high school there, which is Crenshaw High School, the hub of that community. Sits right in the center of our 70-block neighborhood. There's been a 47% high school graduation rate, so that's not very high. We knew that in order to make this neighborhood sustainable and change and stable again, that we'd have to focus heavily on education. And yes, it has to be done simultaneously. This initiative isn't let's attack the crime, then let's go after the high school, then let's go after unemployment. The reason I have a deputy neighborhood officer in each initiative is we have to do this simultaneously.
How are you addressing the fact that the Crenshaw area is changing demographically?
We know that we have a new Latino population that's emerging, and as a result, we see this on campus with the kids. We see it in the parent groups. We also have seen the need to have more Spanish-speaking staff who can actually speak on behalf of the programs we have and make them more inclusive, because even though we are primarily focused and have been traditionally on the African-American population, in order for this to be successful, we have to be inclusive.
Everything that you've said today is focused around communication. It's pretty much paramount to your entire plan. Critics of the Los Angeles Urban League have said that's where you guys sometimes fail, as the communication doesn't come through all the way to the neighborhoods. With such an ambitious plan, it seems like that's really key.
Well, all I can say is that we're working on it. And I think the one thing we can say is we acknowledge that we have to improve on our communication with the neighborhood. We're not perfect. We're a changing and evolving organization that's not necessarily totally reinventing itself, but really coming into this century with the evolution of new technology. As you see, we want to be sure that it's something that is going to affect the metrics, is going to help us change the neighborhood, that we're collecting information and giving them information that's going to, again, change and improve those areas that we're focused on.
Ms. Bakewell, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Some community and religious organizations are working together to improve the quality of life in South LA. Matthew Richmond takes a look at how some of the groups are going about it.
Reverend Cecil Chip Murray is a former pastor of the First AME Church in Los Angeles and a prominent community leader. In 1992, he went to Michael Eisner, CEO of Disney at the time, to ask for grants to start businesses in South Los Angeles.
Without businesses, it becomes a slum ghetto.
Murray was able to raise more than $1 million from Disney. He describes his efforts to support black businesses in Los Angeles as more of a success than a failure. But he says he wasn't surprised that many of the businesses eventually failed.
I would say that if anyone had to rethink what they could have done better, it would be the political leaders and the corporate leaders.
The Los Angeles chapter of the Urban League is focusing on improving education through their project, Neighborhoods at Work. They're starting with Crenshaw High School and 70 blocks surrounding the school. Anthony Maddox is the chief of staff of the Urban League. He stresses the importance of improving Crenshaw High.
Part of the theory of change is that if you create a strong educational base or high school in a community, that the community around it can thrive or certainly do better.
The Urban League is partnering with the Ethel and Tom Bradley Foundation and the Rossier School of Education to create a nonprofit called the Crenshaw Educational Partnership.
It serves as an interface between LAUSD and not only Crenshaw High School, but eventually the entire Crenshaw family of schools, elementary and middle schools that feed Crenshaw High School.
The partnerships cultivated and the experts consulted by the Urban League are usually from outside of the communities they aim to serve. The Liberty Hill Foundation in Los Angeles emphasizes a different approach in the grants they award. James Williams is a program officer at Liberty Hill.
So if we're like looking at a proposal on affordable housing, we'll have people at the table who organize community members on these types of issues.
Liberty Hill's strategy is more progressive in its focus on the groups it funds.
That it's communities getting involved in issues that affect their lives and making decisions about those issues. And so that's our commitment, and we want to make sure that our grant-making reflects that commitment.
Despite the years of frustrations felt by those serving South Los Angeles, many groups continue to search for new ways to have an impact. And these days, there's an even greater need for their help. Matthew Richmond for Annenberg News.
LA Live will throw its grand opening tonight, even though the complex is still under construction. The sports, entertainment, and residential district covers 4 million square feet of downtown real estate. It includes the Nokia Theater, which opened last year. We sent reporter Kevin Patra down to the site next to the Staples Center to see what residents had to say about the new attractions.
Hopefully it's going to be like a something we can call our own, you know, and make it a kind of a world-class sort of destination. So
just here to check it out. They want to see what it's, you know, what the potential is or what it's going to look like. And, you know, maybe in the future, maybe you can, come down here and use the restaurants on here and, instead of going elsewhere.
I'm very excited for the opening. I think it's great for the city of Los Angeles. It should help the economy in terms of just bringing, different facets like retail, living, sports, entertainment.
Just being able, to come here, at nighttime with all my friends and stuff, and it's just really, really exciting.
Now we check in with Matt Schrader to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Matt?
Thanks, Lotta. Well, I hope you're a Gym Class Heroes fan. They're headlining tonight's Big Conquest annual concert at USC. We'll be live in McCarthy Quad, give you the latest scoop on what's going on there. And the city of LA gave the nod to USC's plan to replace the UV with college housing and retail stores. It's a whole new project, the inside scoop on that as well. Plus, even in hard times, the holidays are bringing joy to those without their homes. What some Angelenos are doing to spread the holiday cheer. Those stories and more coming up. It's ATVN's final broadcast of the year, tonight at 6 on Trojan Vision.
Matt, thanks a lot. And by the way, our congratulations to ATVN for their 10th anniversary. Congratulations, guys. Well, that wraps it up for today and for this semester. A special thanks to our Thursday crew, Julianne Spencer, Leslie Strauss, Connie Kuo, Beth Palkovic, Yosef Al-Haddad, Jonathan Horn, Deidre Crawford, David Sobriege, Kim Daniels, Claudia Melendez, Kevin Patra, Peter Griffin, Matthew Richmond, and Richie Deshawn. Caitlin Finaro is our producer, and Billy Higgins is our technical guru. Keep clicking on our website for more stories over the winter break, and join us again for more live newscasts in February. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Lata Pandya.
Thank you.